Hello, everybody, and welcome to Champagne Sundays with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigGlenMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our fourth Champagne Sundays show. It's our anniversary party, and it is January 23rd, 2022, and we are airing live from the ceramic artist Andrea Fay's studio in Peachtree City, Georgia. Now, Andrea will be on the show tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that. Keep up with that at bigblendradio.com. But we're excited. We have some amazing guests joining us, all old friends, not necessarily in age, you know, just in that we go back. They've been on the show a few times, quite a few times for some. And we're very excited because this is our anniversary year. It's a big year. It's 25 for Big Blend magazines in this country, 15 years for Big Blend Radio, and where we started at 29 Palms, just hint, hint, we're going back there today, and 10 years for our Love Your Parks tour, where Nancy and I travel documenting parks. Majority of the time, these 10 years have been on the road full-time and documenting parks and public lands. And having wine in parks, right? Don't tell anybody.
Stealth.
I know, stealth. And it's our Champagne Sunday show, and this is the flagship show of what started our shows the very first Sunday 15 years ago. And we started it. I don't think we had sound effects. We could play music, but we didn't have any opening music, sound effects and stuff. And we grew. And so did Blog Talk Radio. At that time, it was the first platform where people could call in like they're doing today. Today, we normally do Zoom video recordings that are audio and video on all platforms. You can do the audio videos normally on YouTube, Facebook. But, yeah, it's quite wild to have these amazing folks back on the show today. Nancy, are you ready for this?
I'm always ready. Yeah.
So a lot of you know Priscilla, the pink sock monkey. She is driving the – well, she's our travel mascot, and she's driving our Big Blend party bus today. And as usual, getting the snacks and food. This is her time where she gets to actually do something. Most of the time, she's snoring in the back seat.
No kidding.
You know, we're making her actually do something. And she's a diva, but she has agreed to behave and take care of all of our guests on the show today. And if you go to bigblendradio.com, you'll see a link about our anniversary show. So we're documenting them throughout the year so everyone can listen to the archives whenever you want. But there is a picture of Priscilla where she got her first lesson of driving the Big Blend party bus. It was on the Sequoia shuttle up in Sequoia National Park. So the shuttle bus.
That poor guy.
So she got her first lesson there, which is a good thing. She had to drive through big trees, giant sequoia trees on windy roads. So, you know, she's doing good now. But we're going to start off today. You know, we're saying we're in Peachtree City, Georgia. We're at Andrea Fay's ceramic art studio. And so we're going to jump to the East Coast. We're going to go through some swamps on the bus, and we're going to go from there. This bus has superpowers, and I know all of our guests have superpowers. This bus can swim, which means it's going to swim through great white sharks because we're going to South Africa. We're going to go to Cape Town area, and we're going to hook up with James Saunders, an amazing guitarist, vocalist, songwriter, also an entrepreneur. We're going to get in touch with him, talk to him a little bit, find out what's going on. And from there, we're going to go to Los Angeles and go to North Hollywood. So, you know, that's how it floats around here. So take a listen before we get James. You know, it's a long trip as we swim through those that ocean. We're going to play one of the first songs we played on the show with him. It's called Freedom Has a Way. And James, you can find him on Spotify, Facebook, all those online platforms. I encourage you to get his music. It is amazing. So here it is, Freedom Has a Way by James Saunders. Take a listen.
Thank you. below. It'll take forever, if only I go real slow. So take me by the hand, lead me through the door. There's a light in the sky that beckons in the night, leading to a distant shore. Leading to a distant shore. Freedom has a way, like the perfect stranger that came in your world to stay. I walked across these mountains, sailed across the sea, looked down into those deep blue waters a thousand miles away. And I could never follow your religion all the way. Fear is her companion, the master and his slave. The master and his slave. Freedom has a way, like the perfect stranger that came in your world to stay. Where does it end? What will you say? Your story will never be in black and white, it's always written in grey. Just a handful of memories to write down in the sand, but these things that are forged so deep inside are never easy to understand. Never easy to understand. Like the perfect stranger that came in your world to stay. Ooh, freedom has a way. Like the perfect stranger that came in your world to stay.
Again, that was Freedom Has a Way by James Saunders over out in South Africa in Cape Town area. And he's been on our shows for over the last few years. I don't even know when, but that's one of the first songs we played by him. And it's amazing, as you can hear. You get it on all your streaming platforms, wherever you are in the world. But we're super excited because the bus was listening. We were playing that song. But think about it. That whole song, that's how fast the bus swam from the east coast of the United States to Cape Town. It's pretty darn good, James. Welcome back. How are
you? It's good going. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Just trying to survive this incredible heat wave that we're having at the moment.
So, oh, what? You have a heat wave?
It is terrible. I'm sitting here. I'm literally dripping. Puddles around me at the moment as I speak. But it's been 42 degrees and it's for quite a few days. And there's a mean going around.
You're Celsius, 42.
Yeah.
42 is cold
Celsius, which,
in this country.
I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, I don't know. Somebody else can Google it.
100 and something.
It is. It's hot. Huh. We're used to that from the desert, and I love that. But Cape Town never really got hot. You know what I mean? It always felt like it was cooler. You know, because of the ocean.
Most of the year. Yeah, most of the year. But in January, February, you get these heat waves that come. And this honestly is one of the hottest periods of time that I've known here.
Wow.
And it's humid. It's got the humidity as well. So Quite something.
Wow. And so what's happening in regards to your – I remember the last time you were on the show, there was a really serious drought situation in Cape Town. And then you guys got a lot of rain, and it was like, oh, yay, we're okay. How are you now?
Oh, no. Right now, especially in the Western Cape, in terms of rain and water, we are very flush. We have a lot. The dams are full.
Good.
So it went from one extreme to the next. And, you know, as far as
to another.
Water goes, it's absolutely good. In good condition at the moment,
awesome.
Water-wise.
I love that.
Not so well in other aspects, but certainly in the water-wise we are.
Mm. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad to have you back on the show, Nancy. I mean, it's so funny because I actually had a phone chat, a Zoom call with one of my bestest friends from South Africa. We were in high school together, and her daughter was there, so we couldn't really say everything we got into because, you know, she gave me the look of, you will not tell any stories to my daughter, because her daughter is like 16.
And we have stories.
Well, they're coming to the States, you know. And so this is the first time I've seen my friend Mel for 30-some, I mean, I don't know how
that
this happened.
Amazing.
But you can see
amazing.
How old I am now from when I graduated high school. But it's like 33 years since we've seen each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, you know, so, you know, but she's kind of British now because she's in England. But but she still goes back and forth to South Africa. And now my accent is coming back. Between the two of you, I'm going to be saying y'all by the end of this. I know this happens every time. But
that's a good thing.
But you've been doing a lot of entrepreneurial stuff lately. I know you still do music. You did a lot at wineries, even during COVID. But you have a business side, too, of what you do.
Yeah. I was actually just, if I may start, I was listening to that song and realizing also how my music, you know, since I wrote that song, has changed. It was quite an interesting experience listening to that song because back then I was doing these very slow ballads, and as you could hear, that's a slow ballad. I thought you would actually play Silver Ghost, which is that sort of underwater song. But anyway, so I realized, and I think it's maybe due to when you play publicly, and be it a restaurant or wine farm or whatever, you tend to need to up the tempo a little bit. And so as a result, most of my songs now have a much higher tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an interesting thing to observe, listening to the song and realizing, wow, I've actually, if I'm to write a new song now, it will have.
Well, like now I'm going after midnight. It's after. This is crazy.
After
midnight. But that's got like a little reggae in there, and it's not the Clapton.
Yeah.
This is James's song, and you know, just when you're listening to it, you know, you got the rhythms. And I was gonna play that today, but I was like, you know, Freedom Has a Way. It's got, I know it's a song. It's I remember on the show you were talking about it being part of your world travels, and you know, and it's also when you think about our tour, and I think also it's about, like, we have to realize, like, I think all of us with this lockdown and pandemic and all this political, I'm just going to use the word crap around the world, because it's around the world. It's not just our country. It's not just England's going through some interesting stuff, but it's everywhere. And so I just think it does have a way if you seek it. And personal freedom comes from personal freedom. We have to remember that. And so playing that at the beginning of the show just was, to me, a beautiful start to remembering there's always something we can do. And we can find beauty everywhere.
It's not only that. Sometimes you have to unlock the freedom in yourself.
Yes.
To give yourself permission to be
absolutely
who it is you really are. And that's where that song goes for me.
Yeah, that's very profound. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Well, James, you're on the bus. Priscilla would like to make you some food. What would you like?
Well, how about an octopus salad, seeing as octopus is...
She should be a sea monkey now.
I was hoping you would say a curry bunny.
Curry bunny. Yeah. Oh.
They call them bunny chow.
Yeah, bunny chow. Bunny chow. Yeah.
Bunny chow.
Oh, I'm getting hungry when you say that. But now we're okay. So, what would you like to drink?
Off of the hook.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there because he's going to talk with Chef Ivan Flowers. And
okay.
Our bus does have to move, and Priscilla's
okay,
in there. She's actually doing it. I can't believe she's taken it. I know you've caught it, and she's cooking it. She's making yours. She's doing it. She's a smart little sock monkey. But what would you like to drink?
How about a mojito?
Mm. Ooh, a mojito. Now you're going Cuban.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Sounds good to me. All right. She knows how to do that. She's done that before, so that'll come out fast. So
she's
in a good way.
Mojito.
She's part Cuban.
She knows how to make it. She's good. She's a good little sock monkey. So now listen, James, I know we managed to swim in the bus to get to you. Superpower. Now the bus actually knows how to fly. And so we're going to, I mean, this is kind of crazy how we're doing this twirl around. And we're going to end up back in California. We're going to twirl. We're just going in circles, which is kind of how our Love Your Parks tour goes. But we're going to fly to Hollywood and connect up with an author, Shannon Deering. So are you ready to fly? Have you got your wings on and just in case? You know, you've got your oxygen mask? Yeah. Okay, but you listen, but when you sit down to eat the octopus salad, you can take your oxygen mask off.
I'm so happy about that.
Just in case. And if, every time you want to drink, you can take your mask off too. So therefore, you're maskless on the bus because that's another superpower. No one can get COVID on the bus, okay? So this is a clean bus.
No,
Priscilla has magic. All right, so here we go. Off we go. Buckle your seats, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are landing shortly. The flaps are coming out.
My, what big flaps you have.
Oh, my. Oh, my. We must be in Hollywood now. This is everyone, we had to play flaps. This is an old joke on the show from years. I mean, it's about 14, 15-year-old joke, and we really can't tell you where it came from because it's pretty.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't. We can't tell you. But this means we are with author S.L. Deering, who we call Shannon. She is, you know, a sister from another mother and the daughter of El Commodore. Everyone knows the Commodore from way back when in our history. Not
cheers
our history shows, in our personal history. But the Commodore is a good friend from when we lived in Mexico and watched us take care of the troll and my grandmother. And so I'm going to say that and leave it at that. But welcome back, Shannon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Please tell Dave, thank you for that. I know. Remember the day of recording all of that? Thank Dave for his flaps talent.
Hello.
I definitely will.
And please tell him we like trucking.
Yes.
Everyone who knows the 9 o'clock news, Google
I
Love Trucking.
He said he likes to truck.
I like to truck a lot. So welcome back. How are you? What's life like out in Hollywood?
I'm good. Life is good. It's, we're doing what everybody else is doing and surviving and trying to get back to normal and trying to stay healthy. I know it's good. It's actually a beautiful day today. It's like 74 degrees.
Wow.
What?
We're
at... we are at 40 something right now. We're up to 43 degrees. Oh, we moved up. But the sunshine. Latest 50 degrees. However, we're with you now, so it's in the 70s, and it feels quite warm. Mm. James in South Africa, you're now going to cool down a bit. How does that feel?
Please send me some of that weather.
Okay, let's trade weather. Let's trade weather. Come on.
Yes.
We'll send you our icy frozen lawn.
I want to give everyone Shannon's website. She is the author of the Leah Fall Chronicles, not the Leah Fail Chronicles, as I used to say on the show, right? The Gathering.
Yeah, but it's spelled that
one.
Way. So.
Leah Fail, but it's Leah Fall. And The Journey from the Gathering to the Bridging. This is book one and a half because Shannon doesn't do anything normal. She's like, I'm going to not do, like, you know, I'm going to do book 1.5, which you don't normally see. And she's also written a gazillion short stories. So go to S.L. Deering, and that's D-E-A-R-I-N-G, just saying I can spell, sldeering.com. Mm-hmm. And she also makes jewelry, so check it out at underdwellertreasures.com. So Shannon, Priscilla would like, she's now served the octopus. she wants to know what you would like.
I would love a steak salad.
Cool.
Oh, she's in the salad mode. We're going to be talking filet mignon with Chef Ivan Flowers down the road, so this is good. Ooh, he may have to teach her a little bit more, so this is good. You're going to have a steak salad, and what would you like to drink?
Jameson.
Oh, she's to the Jameson. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, shit, there's nothing's changed.
Any way you want to give it to me, I'll take it.
No, I love that, you guys. This is a Champagne Sunday brunch show, and you're both having salads and serious cocktails. Don't blame us. Do not blame us. We did not do it. But good to have you back on the show, Shannon. And before we head off to the desert, because now, you know, you've been to 29 Palms. You visited us when we lived there. Around the corner from Jerry, where we're going. And it's not that far. What, 3 hours from you, I think? Maybe three and a half, depending on traffic.
I think it's about 3 hours. We just drove back from Vegas and had to avoid that big storm that happened through the mountains and ended up taking that back way, which drove us right through 29.
Cool.
I love the back way. That's how we first found 29, pre-Jerry time. And then Jerry found us. And said, you girls need to come here. But our first step into 29, and your dad went there, was the 29, the Palms Inn. It's out in Wonder Valley, and Jerry can tell us more about this. But it's an interesting bar that has a thrift store. They have music. Mm-hmm. And we met some very interesting characters who told us some very funny jokes that I'm not allowed to repeat on the air. I don't know what's going on, but nothing's allowed. But I just want to say our show started in 29 Palms, and Shannon was on, you know, a lot of them. We've done radio plays, her and Steve Schneikert, and, oh, my gosh, your friends. I mean, we've had so much fun. And the one show we did, and I think this was after we had moved in, we had the con artist Fred Brito. Do you remember Fred Brito when Nancy and I were interviewing? We nailed him. He didn't think he was being nailed on the show because he came on to say he was going to be on Jay Leno. He was going to do all these things, and he was a pedophile. He's been on Dr. Phil. He's been on all these shows where they're really trying to take him down. And he came on wanting to do this whole spiel that was a complete lie, and we knew it. So it was an anniversary show, so it was in January. I think 2009, maybe?
And we had an FBI agent on the show.
We had an FBI agent on the line and told us what to ask. We worked it. And Shannon took care of our chat room. And after we had to stop doing the chat room because we did get
so funny. The chat room was here, Shannon. Shut up, Fred. Shut up, Fred.
Shut up, Fred.
Was the guy, and she kept saying, shut up, Fred.
Shut up. And you're like calling them names. You're like, you're such a dork, Fred. Oh, shut up, Fred. And because when you,
shut up, Fred.
I know it's a chat, but I could hear your voice like, shut up, Fred. Like, just shut up.
I had forgotten
and,
that.
And Ernie Pitino is the name of the FBI agent.
Ernie
He's
Pitino,
also a novelist. And he was like, this is great. And they're going in. And bada bing, bada bing. Bye-bye, Fred.
And he said that we were okay. Like, I was, like, going to bring him on the show. And then he actually did get him, Fred Brito, nailed because he's friends with the head security guy of the Dr. Phil show. And mm-hmm. so this, because see, this guy was saying I was a pedophile on Twitter, and he was like doing this big attack. And I'm like, you come to our house. I got, you know, baseball bat.
Yeah.
I got more than that. I got African stuff. I got a knob carry. James, you know what a knob carry is, right? And I know how to use it. Don't come here.
Yeah,
and,
that was
and
funny.
He did go away. And he did go away. So it's kind
yeah,
of
we nailed it.
But
we did.
Yeah, I remember all that now. As soon as you said the name, I was like, oh, my God.
I know. It was so long ago. But we did nail him. It was good.
But that's
yeah.
every time we meet someone whose name is Fred, it's like, uh-oh, shut
that's
up.
That's a bad name.
All right, so we're going to go to the desert. So, James, you know the desert is a little chillier in you know, this, it's winter here in the States, so
winter,
it'll get
yeah.
a little cooler. But it is nice and sunny, and it's always a beautiful day in 29 Palms, and that's where we're going. It's right outside Joshua Tree National Park. And our friend Jerry Hagman found us, said we need to come up and cover the area with our magazine, and we did. And next thing you know, we moved there. And
she had no
she
idea
is
what
like
she's
lifelong
getting
friends.
Into.
And then when the pandemic hit, she put up with us for 3 months. I can't even know how she did it. But she is the sweetest and most badass person. She is one of those.
I don't
know what it is about innkeepers. She, you know, had a Homestead Inn that she's selling, but retiring. But everybody stay tuned because this is just one of the most incredible women that you'll ever meet. And
yeah,
she's been on our show before
sure.
and everything. So. All right, off we go. We're going across the desert. Are you guys all settled with your food and drinks? You good?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm good.
All right, watch out for the cactus. They like to jump out. Jerry Hagman, is it a beautiful day in the desert?
Absolutely.
She's ringing the bell. This was the bell, like, during the pandemic, we were allowed to have our wine time when Jerry rang the bell.
Rang the bell.
And it has to do with
we
good business stuff. If we sorted something out, if we finished something, she would allow us, she would say, okay, you're allowed to have your wine time in the sun. And
yes.
That bell is very significant. But welcome back to the show, Jerry. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's a wonderful, beautiful, sunny day in the desert. It's only 64 degrees today, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, 54?
It's always
but you
beautiful
know you can get in the sun
again.
Yeah, 64.
It's
well, we need to come
64.
Home.
Oh my gosh, we're in the 30s.
No,
I'm
we're not. We're
desert.
50. We're 54.
The desert.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
The desert is beautiful,
yeah.
And I heard that you had a lot of rain, so do you expect wildflowers this year?
Oh,
this
absolutely,
spring?
And especially they're looking for the lilies on the property. I've got
oh,
my
cool.
stick. I'm going to go out and scurry around and see if I can't find some of those beautiful lilies that we found several months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, when the pandemic hit, Jerry and I went out in the mornings and cleaned up property. From trash, and it, you know, it was one of the best things because we found the desert lilies, the ajo lily, because they smell like garlic,
yeah.
So the Indians and the Mexicans would call it the ajo lily, and it only happens when a certain part of rain hits at a certain time, and it happens around Easter. In fact, there's a Easter lily, or, you know, the desert lily preserve. Out in the desert on the east side of Joshua Tree National Park. And you can see Joshua Tree National Park from Jerry's house. We watched everybody's getting turned around during the pandemic, and you can see us getting turned around, Jerry. But
that is very true.
Yeah. And
yes,
so are you feeling
–
go ahead.
I was going to say, the park has got, because of the pandemic and everything, the park has been inundated with so many people that, you know, when the sun goes down, I can sit in the backyard and count the headlights. It's just unreal how many people have discovered in the backyard from Los Angeles that they have a wonderful place called Joshua Tree National Park.
Yeah.
It's amazing, that park.
It is beautiful, and it's easy for, like, Shannon can get there easily. James, you had to swim and fly. Well, you got to fly. You didn't have to swim like we did. You know, just saying. We swam to get you. You know, Joshua Tree is an internationally visited park. It's iconic.
Yeah.
And the Joshua Trees are something so important, and we have to protect them. And
they're prehistoric. They are prehistoric.
Really?
But they, we are having an issue with them, from what I've read too. But because of climate change, that
is this a big park? Is it a big, very big park?
Thousands of acres, and the desert changes. So what's beautiful about this is that you go from what's called the Colorado Desert into the Mojave Desert, and there's also kind of a strip depending on where you are. That kind of touches into Sonoran, and but this is connected close to Anzabrego Desert State Park, which is south of it, which is 600,000 acres. It's like the largest desert or state park for California. And so people travel from there. They go to Joshua Tree, and from there go to Death Valley. They go right, Jerry, in Yosemite, Kings Canyon,
Sequoias. Yeah, they do the loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they do the loop, and the thing of it is that the ecosystem, there's three different ecosystems that's represented in the park, so it's really very fascinating. Plus, the rock climbers love it because it's the very large boulders that you'd have nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
the Hall of Fame,
challenging.
Very
beautiful though.
We go, we watch them climb the rocks, and we drink wine, as you know, Jerry.
Yeah, because we're not seeing that. We just watch, and we're like, look
Jerry,
at that, it's funny.
Well, when we were there, we went to film tent caterpillars, which we found these big spider web things. We thought they were spiders. And it turned out there were these caterpillars eating their way out of a web. And it looks gross. And anybody back east, they're everywhere. But this was like an unusual thing, and we took our Portovino wine backpack out there, and we did wash the rock because I did spill a glass of red wine because I'm stupid. Don't tell anybody what we were doing. But we were filming this, and then we wanted to go back to see if the caterpillars had come, because it was amazing because you could actually see them chew their way out.
And
it was like a sci-fi.
Wine, by the
they
way.
They do.
They loved it.
They
cleaned up these
them.
Mess.
No, they did not. Come on. I don't want people to yell at me. We did not feed the ducks. But
no.
Anyways,
that's not true either. We did
We don't. We don't feed animals in the parks. But we did have wine while we're filming caterpillars because this was like a sci-fi movie. And I know Nancy will do something weird with it. And then we wanted to see the caterpillars, and that's when they closed the park. But it's open now, and it's a place that people – if you can get to it. It's kind of like Cockerbooms, James. You remember, you know, Cockerbooms and up in the – have you seen them up in the Karoo? Is it the Karoo in the Kalahari area that have the Cockerboom trees?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the – what is it?
The fruit Karoo.
Oh, it's just on the tip of my tongue. I can't
remember. No, Cockerbloom.
But I think I know exactly what you're talking about there. It's that
maybe
you're talking about the upside down tree that looks like the roots on there.
It kind of. I think we're on the same page. But listen, we're going to head off. But before we go, Priscilla's ready to take Jerry's order, and Priscilla and Jerry have a good relationship.
Yes.
By the way, people would like to know how the painted black cat is out on the bench.
It's still there. She's keeping an eye on everything.
Cool. Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah, she's still there. Absolutely. My reservation for dinner is going to be an old-fashioned pot roast with mashed potatoes and gravy and some fresh green beans with onions. And I'm going to have a lovely margarita. There you go.
Oh, you do like your margaritas. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yes,
Judy needs one, too. Judy needs one.
Of course.
You know,
Judy.
Judy
needs
one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And listen, I'm very surprised that you chose green beans over asparagus, because I remember eating so much asparagus when we were there. That time it was like asparagus. That was the only thing that wasn't emptied on the store shelves. Asparagus was abundant. And so, I mean, even the wine, the pasta, everything, when COVID first hit, Jerry knows how to get toilet paper.
Because
she has connections.
Asparagus was an alien.
Yeah, I have connections.
Like
oh God! Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna get out. We did have a fun time, you know. And she again, she put up with us, so she gets every kind of award on the planet.
You're about
to retire. You're so close to retiring 100%. So,
is that our fault? Maybe
I know,
we made her do it.
She's like, that's it. I'm done with guests.
I'm done.
No, she's retiring, and our next guest is wonderful. We're going to chat with Marisa Kina Hemmerbeck, and I never get this right when I say it, her name, and I'm so sorry. I owe you wine. But Marisa is amazing. She and her husband, Gunnar, developed the Porto Vino, and
they've sold it,
and I'm going to say when they sold it, Nancy and I cried. We did.
Yeah, we did.
But
we cried.
We want people to be happy and they're entrepreneurs, and I know they'll always do something new. But we've been drinking wine everywhere across this country because of this lady and her amazing design skills and Gunnar's amazing design skills. She does totes and bags and purses, and he created the backpack. So I'm just going to give them a plug, porto-vino.com, because it is truly
–
as I've always said, one of the best inventions on the planet. So
it's
everyone
awesome.
Needs to go get one. So anyway, Jerry, get on the bus. We're going to go across the desert to Phoenix. That's not that far from
here. Oh, good.
All right. And Shannon, you know Phoenix. You used to live there. So you ready?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going back. We're going back there. We're going through more desert, okay? This time it's more Sonoran desert. Yeah, we're going to leave the
Joshua
Tree.
We're all warm now.
And now we're going to saguaro land, the saguaro cactus. So different cactus. But anywhere you go, there will be cholla cactus, and those are the ones that jump out and bite you.
They do jump out at you.
I was going to say, wasn't that a dig at when the cactus jumped out at me at the Commodore's house?
Yes. Yes. And do you remember? Do you remember in 29 Palms? I don't know, Jerry, if you remember, and Shannon, when I was transplanting cactus, and Nancy told me, if you do that, you're going to get hurt. I'm like, no, I'm fine. And I bent my head down and stuck my head in a cactus. And Nancy had to take all the needles out of my head.
I do remember that.
No, and I was like, you know, I'm telling her to hold still, and she won't. And I'm like, okay, it's going in, not coming out. You got to. She had needles all over her head.
Oh.
I know. And guess what? Nancy gets to cut my hair again. So, you know, that's.
I don't want to, because I'll see all those scars.
Nancy drinks wine when she cuts my hair. And so, therefore, I have an excuse. I know, but I need
you to. I'm nervous about it. I'm not.
All right, we're getting on the bus. We're going to Phoenix. Stay tuned. I'm ready for a glass of wine. The champagne's gone. We've got Marisa here. Marisa, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, ladies. Great to be with you again, and happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And listen, so what's retired life like? Like, you're not quite retired. I know something's got to be brewing with you and Gunnar, right?
Something.
There's no way.
I know, like, right? I don't know how I fit in work. I'm like so busy. I don't understand how. But we're definitely doing a little bit more hiking and, you know, catching up on life things that kind of got thrown by the wayside for a while. But it's been great. Yeah. So, and yes, thinking about like what's next. So,
yeah, That's awesome. And so you and Jerry are in that same boat of like, hey, we can go for a hike and do what we want when we want. It's like so cool.
Right, exactly. It is. It's definitely been fun for that.
Well, congratulations.
You gotta invent something else. You really do.
I know. You guys can do things all the time.
Oh, that's nice. Well, we're working on it. We're thinking about it. So we figure we'll take a little time, though. It's a unique time in life, you know, something we weren't really planning, but it presented itself. So we're trying to make the most of it.
Could you invent a self-watering potted plant? Since we housed it, and you have to keep track of all the plants. We housed it with a person who had 1,000 houseplants. So I was looking and thinking, I look at the Portobino, I'm thinking there's a way to make a self-watering plant.
They do have those little, like, you know, those porous, like, I think they're made out of a clay, right? You know, and they have like a pipe that goes into the water.
They need a bucket
of water, and then you put this little tube into it, and then it siphons out the water, and you put this clay thing into it.
You don't have dogs,
do
you?
You have to look it up. Okay, that's all. Now you got parameters now.
I know, dogs, but I know
it's
that that's
be
the thing.
Part
dogs
of,
will take,
it's gotta
take
be
that
part
up.
Of the plant, like where the plant is, and then it has a clay plate for the water that you're supposed to pour in, drip out. But it's gotta be under there.
They
so
just
it's not
to give
on the
everything
floor.
Wine.
Somehow there's a straw that like feeds wine to the human.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. But then the Portobino wine still is rolling across the country. I want you to know.
It should water itself for at least a week.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, you know, here, this is another connection. I love that. Everybody comes on shows, and it's about dates, and there's always a connection, and that's what the blend is. And so, you know, with you, I'm just saying this is amazing that we have James on from South Africa, because Gunnar is from South Africa, too. And I'm sorry if I'm never saying your names right. I need to go to wine jail, but don't take my wine away. I'll buy you wine.
You said it perfectly. It was perfectly said. So, yep. No, and yes, I mean – Cape Town spectacular. Gunnar grew up in South Africa, and so I was lucky enough to go back there with him a long time ago. Now it was 2001, but holy cow, what an amazing country!
It's awesome.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So much diversity.
Now, have you been to
you
been to Joshua Tree?
Me, yes, I have been to Joshua Tree. Yeah, and that was a few years back too. But gotta put that on the list of. Places to go back to.
You've got all that free time.
Joshua Tree is definitely gorgeous. So beautiful there.
Well, listen, Priscilla is ready to make you whatever you want, and she'll do extra for you whatever you want because, you know, she loves, you know, she's been in Portovinos all over the country. She's been... stuffed in the tote bag. She's been in the bag.
She's discovered the secret pouch.
She's like Julia Child. She's like the drinking chef, right?
But I have learned this. All right. I have learned this, that I actually, when I'm not carrying wine, I hide my wallet and cash in the pouch. But anyway, that's the best thing is to hide cash. Because when we did our little in-sitting thing, I made a lot of cash from tips. And I'm like... But in the Portobino, and this is a little thing. Well, because if you get robbed or something, they're not going to know. Well, maybe they probably will, but if they get the bag, they'll never find it. And by the time
like
the cops
little...
take my, if they find it, I'll have my money back. My thing. But Priscilla's ready to take your order.
Well, I will have some ceviche, and I figure I'll keep with the, you know, Champagne Sunday, so I'll have a mimosa at that.
There you go.
Oh, very good. Oh, you're very healthy. Yeah. That's a very healthy. The rest of us, we all need to go to school, apparently. But you guys are having salads, so that's good. That's good. That's really good.
Exactly.
So are you ready to go to Alabama?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Cool. Although it's a little colder in Alabama.
Yeah. Well, we're in Georgia, so we know it's a little chilly, but the sun is out today. But are you ready? Have you been to Birmingham? Have you been there?
I have not. I haven't been to Alabama. Nope. So I'm excited to go.
Jerry, have you been to Birmingham?
Yes, and I've been to Alabama. My husband was stationed there, so Huntsville, Alabama, for school during the time that Von Braun was there with doing the Apollo things.
Oh. Wow. Wow. See, you never know with Jerry.
Yeah.
Here it goes.
Jerry is like this person who has all this stuff in her mind.
Yeah. Everywhere we go, she goes, well, I've done that, been there, done that. Yeah, and listen, talking about in-sitting, she taught me how to make beds, and so for anybody that we pet-sit for, I really know how to make beds. And apparently there's actually health regulations on bed-making in inns, and I now
and I know how to
always
cook.
Separate the sheets and always separate the sheets and the towels, and the other day I didn't do it, and I was like,
see?
Oh, I could feel Jerry's presence going, you know that was wrong. And when I got it out of there, I was like, this is why Jerry says always separate the sheets from the towels. And
exactly.
It's a very good lesson. And honestly, you will save money on your electricity bill. I'm just saying. It's an important thing. Shannon, have you been to Birmingham?
I have not. I've never been to Alabama.
Oh. Well, we're going, and it's an important time. We're getting close to Black History Month, and Birmingham is such a huge place in regards to the Civil Rights Trail. The Birmingham Civil Rights Trail is there, Civil Rights National Monument. So much went down in Birmingham, Alabama, and we're excited. So Taylor and Rachel Joyner live there, and they have been on our show since day one, I believe, like since the very beginning of time. And we're going to go there, but we're going to play one of the songs we always played on our shows at the beginning of Champagne Sundays, and it's called Work. We closed the show with this song because it was like Sunday afternoon. Who wants to go to work? We don't want to go to work on Monday. And it means a lot of different things, but this song today is dedicated to Marisa and also to Jerry, since they really badly don't want to work anymore. Here's Work. Because we're doing a long trip, we're going across from Arizona all the way to Alabama. So everybody stay tuned. James, are you good? Are you ready to go across the country?
Yes, already. All good.
All right. Off we go. Off we go. And Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to Alabama. We're going to Birmingham, Alabama. Hold on to your drinks and your food because we're going over bridges and bayous, and we're doing a whole bunch of crazy road trip things. So enjoy Work as we go there.
I don't want to go to work, working for a man who just treats me like a jerk, and he doesn't even know my name. Next time he asks me, I'll swear it's foot and tail. But I don't want to go to jail. It stinks what I breathe in, and there's no room to exhale. Won't somebody go my bail? I don't want to go to jail. Now please release me from this grip I never signed up for this. Now please release me from this hole. Let me grow old. Let me grow old. I don't want to go to war. I ain't much for shooting, that ain't what I'm aiming for. And all my soldier friends are poor, fighting rich men's war. And I don't wanna go outside. It's so scary on TV and television never lies. Everything it sells I buy. And I don't wanna go outside. Now please release me from this grip I'd never signed up for this. Now please release me from this hole. Let me grow old. Let me grow old. The bells are ringing noon where we are. Put your hammers down.
one. That is work from the album Olive and Oil.
Fabulous.
And Olive and Oil, one of my favorite albums. Rachel and Taylor Joyner, so they're known as the Joyners. Go to thejoinerhouse.com. There's so much going on there. And I also, I know Rachel can't be with us, but we're picking up Taylor now on the party bus. But I want everyone to go to her website, thequestingchild.wordpress.com.
Oh, that's awesome.
Please go there. I know she's not feeling so well today, and, you know, the flu season's happening. But welcome, Taylor. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Good.
Hey.
Thank you.
You know, when you listen to work now, like, I don't want to go outside. Like, and television never lies. I'm just like, really?
I love that line.
I love it. And
that's so funny.
It's funny to listen to it now, like how full circle and wild it's been since for 15 years, right?
I know. Can you believe it's been so long? I was wondering if we were one of the first on your show, if that was the first year. I remember I ran up to the local bar in East Nashville. It was a Sunday, and it was a Champagne Sunday show. And I was like, you got to give me a bottle of champagne. I can't do Champagne Sundays without a bottle of champagne. And they gave me a bottle of champagne, and then
I remember Rachel and I did
the show.
That's right. Oh my God. That's right. I remember that. I think it was like one of the first 2 years, and we met because Rachel was working with Turner Publishing, and we didn't know about the music, and you guys had done like buskering across the country, you know.
We had just returned from that.
It was
a difficult way to live for sure.
Yeah.
And you were living in Nashville.
Even when we got
then.
Home, it was difficult. What's that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were living in Nashville, and I know you had a daughter from prior time, but, you know, and she's an amazing singer. And
she is.
You guys jam.
She is, yes. Yes.
And now you have three babies. Well, they're not babies anymore. I remember when, you know, Lillian was born and Nancy and I were like, oh, my God. Like, they're having kids, and, like, now look what's, like, happened.
I know.
Holy cow.
They're 10, 7, and 6 now.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, can you believe it? 11,
holy
actually,
lovely.
I should say. 11, wow. 7, and 6.
And your daughter, the older one, how old is she now? How old is your older
She'll be 20 in May. She'll be 20
what?
In May.
How does that make sense?
Incredible. Oh,
wow.
No, I mean,
gosh.
Time flies. It's unbelievable.
Mm. Marisa, I want to ask you about that. How does that feel with your boys? Like,
It does. It goes by so fast. Everybody tells you, like, enjoy every moment. It goes by fast, but it really does. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
My oldest went off to college in August, so I was like, what? It's fun. You've got to enjoy it.
And Jerry, your son is, you know, off in, you know, business and professional and doing his thing, and it's now your grandma, and so you've got that whole.
That's true.
Life.
That
wow, and impressively.
You can love them, and then when they leave, you say, oh, goody. I'll wait
for my time. But, no, you're a great grandma because, you know, she takes, you know everything that's going on, and you've got, like, adopted kids, and like, I know Steve is, but,
oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you've taken,
oh, yeah. Some
you've
of my
watched
Marines.
Over
yeah.
people. Yeah, all the Marines that
oh,
stay
yeah.
at your place at Homestead
yeah.
Inn. Jerry
oh,
keeps
yeah.
up with everybody and, over their lives, you know?
Oh, I love taking care of the military, and they've been it's been a wonderful, rewarding, you know, way to do business because we have a deep appreciation and respect for each other, and they take good care of me, and I try to take good care of them.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Some of them
you
have do. Become lifelong friends. I mean, some of these young guys at 18 to 20, you don't think you'll ever see them again, and then they'll knock on the door someday, and they're at 25, and they'll come in, and they say they're just stopping by because they're on the way somewhere else, but they wanted to say hi. That means a lot.
It does.
Building relationships.
It does.
It's respect
and love.
So there's a lot of promise in our young people.
Oh, we got to take care of our young people.
I
That's
know,
the thing in this
know,
world.
The one thing I really can't stand about mainstream media sometimes is the calling a whole generation out and saying they're not worthy. I hate that.
You can't.
No, you can't. And it's ignorant.
Well, right
it's
now,
ignorant to do that.
I think what's great is where we travel, we're, you know, doing this pet sitting thing. We're meeting people in their homes. And it may be differing political ideals, maybe differing, you know, we never thought, oh, and we're able to break bread with people on all levels of all
different beliefs.
It all societal things, you know, and I think from what we're doing, we're seeing that there really is a way to connect and do things, and it's only way to do it is if you go in with the idea of we're going to connect and make things work and not be, excuse my language, an asshole. So it's like you really have to go in and just,
nice
well, I just
one.
Was one right there, see. But no, you go
my way
in.
Or the
really,
highway.
Is this what's your goal, you know? And so it's a very, I know it doesn't look promising in this country and England and around the world, really, politically. But we do have to take care of our youth. And we do have to remember, go in with a goal, you know, go in with how are we going to make this work together. And I think, Taylor, you do a lot of that with your music. And Rachel's doing with her website, the book website is amazing.
Awesome.
Really, please tell her hats off. What she's doing there is incredible. And as a musician, do you feel that way too with what you're putting out is to tap into, it's just, you guys have always been real. I love that about you guys. Wow.
Wow.
What was
that?
That
wasn't me. I don't know. It sounded like a truck just
damn.
Drove by.
I know. Like,
somebody closed the door.
It's the bus. The bus just kicked us off.
What was that?
I think it's a truck that drives past my
Frederick.
Place.
Drive by shooting. Thank God it's not. But geez. But yeah, I mean, with your music, Taylor, I think you've always been pretty just real.
Well, I
important.
Just try to write what I've found that if I'm trying too hard to make something up, it doesn't stick. So it's a lot easier to call it like you see it, right?
Mm. Yeah. But that's real,
that's
true.
That's a very good point, that. Excellent point about writing music. The moment you try to get too intense or serious or too involved with it, you lose the plot completely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm. It's the art. No matter. And Shannon, do you feel that way in writing too? If you don't really just go exactly what you know in your gut, that it doesn't pan out, like it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a firm believer that if you're going to write what you're passionate about. It's the same thing, like, you can be technically skilled to do something, but if you're not passionate about it, it's going to bleed through, just like music or the visual mediums of art. I think all of those involve passion.
Mm-hmm,
it has to be something that's heartfelt.
I love that. Taylor, we do have to ask, Priscilla's ready to take your order, and she wants to know, she studied up on your vegan chocolate chip cookie cake video on thejoinerhouse.com, everyone. She
that's
studied
funny.
Up on that, and she really had a hoot watching it, and she's like, she's ready to make that for you, but do you have something else she should make?
Well, yeah, we're no longer vegan, so we went 2 years, and
that's
then
good.
And then
that's
we tried,
time.
And then we needed pizza. So if I could have a pepperoni pizza, that would be fantastic.
I'm losing it. Are you serious? Because I'm going. Taylor's gonna like. We're gonna talk about steak on the show just now. Taylor's gone vegan. And when we were on the show, we were talking about when I was vegan, and then eventually, listen, it's cheese. It's cheese, man. The cheese just. I can't live
that's
without cheese.
Vegan.
I don't care about meat. I care about the cheese. I want my cheese and wine and chocolate.
Your hair started falling out, remember?
That's because I didn't do whole foods. As soon as I didn't cook for myself and went and ate all the packaged stuff, my body just said, that's it, you're done. And I went from being really healthy, except for, you know, my wine time, to not being healthy. I was bad. And so you have to cook everything. But so now are you balanced, Taylor?
we have a balanced diet.
Good for you.
So what would you like to eat?
I would like a pepperoni pizza, please.
Oh, God. I want one, too. I want one too. So what would you like to drink? Are you allowed to drink now? Or before you weren't drinking? Now, I mean,
I'm not drinking. I'm not drinking, but I do like cherry Coke with my pizza.
Okay, ooh, Pete's getting.
I do that.
Pete's,
I like that too.
Okay, well, I have to say, the other night at a restaurant, they served us Coca-Cola, and we went cherry Coke, and they brought us maraschino cherries.
And then you
which
were
are not
a
even
price.
A real food item. It's nothing but chemicals.
Well, the only time I eat cherries are if they've been soaking in 121. And then you have a cherry bomb, and they weren't doing that. And so I ate one to be kind and polite to the,
yeah,
the server.
The guy
and
was
my
such
teeth
a nice waiter.
Literally but. Wanted to fall out. They're so sweet. And
I have a
but,
question
and, but,
for Lisa and Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
I've been to Peachtree City. As you know, I'm from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Since
oh.
I worked cool. briefly in Peachtree City, and there were more golf cart paths than
yes.
streets.
Yeah,
you,
it's still a golf
cart. Do you all have access
cart,
to
yeah.
a golf cart?
Yeah, and when we first got
that's
we sat,
so dangerous.
We've done this sit here for, you know, a few times, and the first time they're like, you can take the golf cart and go, and we're like,
no.
you do not... Because
no,
and then I showed them
no.
the Portofino and said, you don't want us on the golf course and the Portofino. But they seriously, I'll put this up on Facebook. This is a golf. This is like one of America's true golf cart communities.
Yeah,
and when
it
you
absolutely
go past
is.
The high school, it there's high school parking lot for golf carts.
It's full of golf
it's
carts.
It's the most insane thing I've ever seen, and it's
the
true.
Kids go to school in golf carts.
But they do. But it's a very nice community, and there's a lot of lakes, and there's a ton of birds. And when
yeah.
the sun shines, you run out, and you get your wine and run.
yeah.
I was a door-to-door salesman selling the newspaper, the Atlanta Journal and Constitution.
No way.
Right.
No.
Yeah, back before the Internet.
Cool.
And
uh-huh.
And I had my most successful weekend in Peachtree City.
See, because
wow.
it's nice.
It was
well, no,
very
because,
nice.
Well, yeah,
yeah
they're
people
very
are
nice,
really
and
nice,
they
yeah.
are very into commerce and everything.
Like, we had a
that's...
two-year deal, and they were like, just double it and give me 4 years. And I'm
wow.
like, I don't have a discount for that. And they said, don't worry about it. Here you go.
Yeah. That was really
wow.
hospitable and nice. Southern hospitality. Yeah.
And have you guys made it to Cheahaw yet?
No.
You're right
there.
No,
we're waiting for you.
I mean, you are
we're,
right we're, there.
We're
you know
we're going
right?
to get there. We're
you
getting
know,
there.
Are you familiar with it?
No. You talk,
no.
I
told
you
all about
that.
The state park of Alabama.
Yeah, the state park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're like 45 minutes from there.
Okay.
Hmm. Maybe we'll do
Cheahaw
that.
Cheahaw Mountain
no.
is right up the – I mean, you can make it a half a day trip.
Hmm. Now, hmm. we have done – outside of Birmingham, we did a National Wildlife Refuge where we went and filmed birds, the sandhill cranes and stuff. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we went to
oh.
Sam's Lake Bird Preserve. It's like a bird sanctuary, excuse me. And it's through this land trust. And we went to see our friends that are from Asheville, the people that we sat inset for are we in sitting Jerry is it inset can we say like a pet sit inset whatever we, you know I don't know why they trust us to take care of their inn but we met them in Fayetteville and with their doggies and then we went off and if we're out and the sun is shining we're going to go to a park and have wine and that's what we did. And it was beautiful. There's Canadian geese and
mm-hmm.
this whole region is really, really beautiful. And you
it's
don't
awesome.
Think about the South with these longleaf pines and loblolly pines, but they really, it's everywhere. But we're coming, we're going to have to hook up, Taylor, but we
well, I'm telling you, whether we make it there or not, you would be kicking yourself if you were not to make it to Cheahaw from Peachtree City.
Mm. Well, we'll work something out.
It is worth you visiting, even if you just drive up for the day. In fact, I'm map questing it for you right now. It's an hour and 50 minutes from where you are. 89.2
okay.
miles.
Is your arm being twisted? No.
Taylor,
yeah.
What are you toasting to?
Yeah.
Good health.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Hang in there here. I want to go to Marisa because we're always off time because we all talk too much, and it's mostly me.
Yeah.
So it's my fault, so I apologize. Marisa, I know you have to run. I do. I apologize. Marisa, thank you. Thank you for being here. What are you toasting to today?
Thanks for having me, and I'm definitely toasting to friends and family. So cheers to all of you guys.
Oh, thank you for joining us. And we're toasting you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You changed our life. I just want you to know that.
I don't know. Everybody says, how do you do the tour and balance everything? I'm like, well, one time through Puerto Vina. Thank you.
I love that. I love hearing that. It's definitely so awesome to hear it still out and about. So, keep using it and having fun with it.
Thank you. And listen, give Gunnar a toast to us too, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say cheers.
I will. He does
we'll go
the same
park.
Back to...
Oh, I was going to say, we're going to go to the park that Taylor wants to go, and we'll give him a toast from there up on some ridge overlooking a lake. How about that? We'll do that.
Sounds perfect.
Thanks. All right. So I want to go over to Shannon. Shannon, what are you toasting to?
I'm going to toast to both of what our fellow guests toast to, as well as to everyone who is following their dreams.
Yeah.
I like that. Follow dreams. Jerry, what about you? What are you toasting to?
I think good health and a bright future and lots of hope.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like it.
James, I like that. James, what about you?
I'd like to toast to the restaurant that's kept me playing music through COVID. It's called Marinella's. They make probably the best pizzas in Cape Town. That's for Taylor if he ever gets here. So I'll toast to them. They've done me a lot of favors by letting me play there and entertain them.
Oh, I like that.
And,
I like that.
If I'd like to add as well, I really enjoyed that song, work by Taylor, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. Keep up the writing, you know. It's
thank you.
Really awesome.
Yours
I know,
as well.
And Taylor,
appreciate it.
Hey, you guys are awesome. I mean, you know, when people think singer songwriter, and I actually am one of those people too. Johnny Mastro, the from the Mama's Boys, just old school, you know, family with us too. And he was posting something the other day going, I hate the word singer-songwriter. And I'm like, I do too. I don't like it because it just has this, I don't know, it's like, I don't want to use the word hate, but you're composers and you're realists in your music.
I call myself a folk singer.
Folk singer is better than this. Singer-songwriter, and then you'll have a pop singer going, I'm this, and I don't want to say that. You know, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, but they're only
right
trying
now.
To point out
you know.
That they write songs as well as sing.
Yeah, I understand all
because
that.
If you just say singer, you don't know they wrote the song. If you just say they songwriter, you don't know they sing.
And
so
I did the
I get why they're doing it.
Exactly.
I understand that. But
for me, I hate it. I always sort of feel like you're actually more of a guitarist than a songwriter or a singer, because out of all the things that you do, be it songwriting or singing or playing guitar, the one thing that's going to take up 90% of your time is the guitar, not the others. it's just an interesting.
No, because the singing, it depends. I mean, I sing, but it is true. The songwriting and the guitar playing and getting the notes right and the dynamics, that's where I think vocalists have to also work is on dynamics. Because if it's, you know, we went through this stage in music where singers were just going up and down the scales like 20,000 times to the point of, you've lost me. And it's like I'm going up and down flights of stairs and you're making me work and I'm tired of it and it's annoying. I think you all know what I mean. Sorry. There's some very famous people who make a lot of money doing it, but it really sucks. You know, just that whole like, okay, enough. We know you can sing, but if you don't have the dynamics, I think that's the hardest part. And that's the thing, even in a book, Shannon, wouldn't that be the same thing if you don't have dynamics in your writing? If you don't give people a breather while they're reading, if you don't give the listener in music a breather, you've lost everybody. People shouldn't have to work too hard.
I mean, if you don't give a lull, you have to give the lull so that you can build up again.
Spaces.
Well, I just look at it all. It's like sex, right? You have to have that balance.
No, I'm not being weird. Oh,
no, but it's true. You need the build up. You do. If you don't have the build up,
I'm standing right here.
No, I know. You can't hear what's going on upstairs here. No, but yes, you can. But anyway, no, but you know, Jerry, are you shaking your head right now? I know you are.
No.
Yes, I am.
I know. I blow the whistle or something because you could talk about sex.
Okay,
in front of
your
mother.
I know we've got to go to our next segment with Chef Ivan Flowers. James is going to stay on so he can talk about octopus with Chef Ivan. But
I know, because that's weird.
There's a lot going on for each of you. And Taylor, you're just going to have to come back on a show, like a show.
Yeah.
You know,
anytime.
And do, like, you've got a lot going on. We've done Champagne Toast, and Nancy and I will do ours with Ivan, time-wise. But the superpower thing, this is important. What is your superpower? What do you possess in your toolkit right now as a superpower? And I want to go to Jerry to set this off because, Jerry, you have a superpower that I'm really hoping you will do for all of us, and it's called yodeling. Is there any chance?
My God. No,
come on. I knew I was going to get in trouble.
Come on.
Yodel.
Oh, my God. She did it.
Yeah. Okay, wait, yeah.
James, I used to do it in silos, wheat silos, and they were empty because it echoed back at me.
Okay, so do it.
Awesome.
Wow, Jerry, you rock. Thank you.
Yeah, between that and hitting the bell, those are my two top priorities.
We owe you. Thank you for joining us, Jerry. It has been awesome.
Yes. All right.
We love you.
Happy 25th anniversary. And
thank you so much
for the invite. Be safe.
Thank you for joining
Bye-bye.
Us. Thank you. Bye. Okay. So I want to go to Taylor. What is your superpower?
Now, I have to have this in real life, you say, or I'm this is an
You can do whatever you want. We don't care.
What
Come
do you
on.
Want?
We don't,
I'm
we
developing
don't
a sewing superpower. I would like to save the world through sewing.
Yeah. What?
A sewing superpower. I got my grandmother's machine, and I learned how to use it. I ordered a couple parts, and it's working, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
That is amazing.
Hey, I once
it is.
Sewed a three-piece suit for
That's
a
amazing.
Person.
So you
I
know
used
how
to
sew?
Sew yeah.
Well, I might email you for some tips.
Okay, because
I really did get it going. I'm excited about it. I made my first stitch yesterday, and then I made a pillow.
Okay.
And then I stitched.
Your fingers out of the way.
I know. I actually almost I had a vision of that being a problem. So I saw
it. I learned how to sew when I was a kid in South Africa, and I sold clothes with my friend Melissa to see. And then we would go and take it to thrift stores, make money, and get into pubs and things. But anyway,
yeah, well, I hope to do something good with sewing. I don't know. My name is Taylor, right? So it comes naturally.
But listen, I made pillows with felt. And I made felt pillows, like pillows, and then you did felt little design things on top of it.
On it.
And did this incredible stitching because the felt doesn't really cut, like, other fabric.
Not normal.
And I did learn how to make pants, and I was really good at making these pants where
you
the design was
the
so cool,
up.
But I sewed them clothes.
Fly up. You
I was good. I was good at pants.
I want to make pants. Pants
I
on
made
my
pants,
list.
And I was good.
Okay,
pants,
but don't sew the fly up.
I did.
Nope,
I did the, no, I didn't sew the fly up, Nancy. I didn't
yes,
make flies.
Did.
I just did pants that you can slip on with really cool fabric and was almost like bell bottom kind of style. And then I sewed the pants closed when I was trying to hem them And I so you can put your foot in, so all I'm saying is watch it on the pants, the arms, you know, any of those.
I have an idea to make millions. You know, women's pants don't have pockets, so I'm just going to put pockets on women's pants and make.
Oh, have fun doing that. Oh, good luck. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know why? Can I tell you
why? Because it makes your hips wider.
Yeah, it's the hips.
I know. I have to
figure wider.
Something out about that, but
you
that's just one of the challenges.
You need a Portofino purse.
Here's the deal. Oh, gosh. How could I say
make
this
make a pocket in the...
Put the pockets in the front or the back, not the
right.
side.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah.
But all my girls, you know, I have a lot of daughters and a wife mm-hmm. and a mother, and none of them have pockets in their pants. And so they need pockets.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so listen, everyone, keep up with Taylor. Go to thejoinerhouse.com. Keep up with Rachel. We wish she was here. Thequestingchild.wordpress.com with what she's doing, connecting books with libraries and for gifted kids. This is a very cool – just go there. When you go there, you'll
amazing.
Get it. Rachel is freaking amazing. We
love
Rachel.
She needs her own
Please
show,
give
too.
Her a hug.
I will.
Yeah, you guys come back on. Because
thank you so much for having
on.
Me. I really appreciate
yeah.
it. It's always
thank
fun.
Thank you, and please
and it was nice
give
meeting
everyone
everybody.
A hug. Yeah, thank you. Thank
too.
You. Thank you. James is staying on, and Shannon, I know you got to get going, too. But listen, what is your superpower?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, what is my superpower? God, I don't know. What is my superpower?
Can I give you one?
I make a great chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, hell yes. Yes, she does, and we know it. We love it. Yes, she makes a damn good chocolate chip cookie. She gets to win.
She has another superpower,
What's that?
I may say, and appoint a superpower to her. She knows how to spin a yarn.
Oh, she does. That's a good one, Nancy.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay, so, James, we'll talk about your superpower next, and we're going to do champagne toast, and we're going to get Ivan on the show, and we're going to play Fish Fever. I know you got to run, Miss Shannon. Shenanigans. Miss Shenanigans. You know, thanks for joining us. It's been awesome. So, James, hang tight. I know, We're always over time, and I'm sorry, James,
yeah.
you're going to be yelling at us in the morning because I know it's late over there, but hang tight.
That's all right.
But
no
everyone, we're going to play Fish Fever. This is, one of the first songs. I think this is the first song
mm-hmm.
that we played.
So we'll go through the latest. A long time ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fish Fever, and he's an avid fisherman. And listen, Chef Ivan Flowers has done so much with fish. I mean, this guy knows anything to do with seafood. I mean, you know, he's a 5-star chef and now a culinary instructor. So we're going to play Fish Fever and then bring Ivan on the show. James has a question for him about octopus. And I'm just going right back to the James Bond. Okay, I'll behave. All right,
yeah.
So here it is. Here it is. Fish Fever by James. Take a listen, enjoy, and we'll get Chef Ivan. Thanks, Shannon.
All right, sweetie. Take care.
It's the early morning anticipation, heading for the shoreline and the sea. The secret place is always miles away, secret place of mystery. And the mist will finally clear, with the daybreak drawing near. It's the magic, familiar scene. From the deep. So the weapons of war are
where she goes. It's the perfect poetry. Don't think too much, don't pray too hard. Relax your busy mind.
That was James Saunders over in South Africa with Fish Fever, one of his first songs that we played on Big Blend Radio, and we're very excited to have him here. He's going to be here for a couple seconds so that he can chat with Chef Ivan Flowers, who's on the show, again, one of our first guests. Here we are celebrating 15 years of Big Blend Radio, 25 years of the magazines with some crazy, crazy people, and 10 years of traveling the country, but here it is. We've got Fish Fever, and I know Chef Ivan has cooked a ton of fish. He's a 5-star chef, a culinary instructor, working with kids in Temecula in the high school there, and he's going to be talking to us about a filet mignon recipe for Valentine's Day, but we've got James here who has a question for him. But welcome back, Chef Ivan. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, thanks for waiting so long to get on the show, because I know it's an anniversary party, and, you know, we have champagne, and you know what happens. But welcome back. It's so good
Thank
to have you.
You.
It's awesome to have you back. James is over in Cape Town, South Africa, and he apparently caught
an octopus.
Wants to... So you have a question for Chef Ivan, so go for it.
Yes. Thinking about that song on superpowers, I think fishing definitely falls into my superpower ambit.
That's your superpower, fishing. Thank you for bringing that back around. Yep.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so... I'm no chef to speak of, but I do, you know, cooking is a huge hobby of mine. I absolutely love it, and I love trying new things, and particularly when it comes to seafood. And I caught an octopus this morning. I've been doing some research into how to cook it. You know, people just recommend boiling it with various ingredients for 30 minutes or so and then letting it cool down and it's kind of ready. But I think the question I have is what are the ways in which you can present it or serve it with? What would you serve it with and how would you, you know, but I've got a few things going through my mind like mushroom risotto or within a salad or just, you know, fried up with some herbs and onions and garlic and maybe some white wine or in a white wine sauce served on a bed of rice. Or is there anything you can recommend in terms of how you would present or how you would, how you present an octopus?
Yeah.
You
yes,
said that.
First.
You said how to present an octopus. I'm sorry. That's funny.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Didn't come out correctly. How to?
No, it's funny.
It.
No, it's just no. There's nothing wrong with it. Sorry, Ivan. Go ahead. Sorry,
no,
we're just being
cool.
Champagne-y.
Okay.
Well, the thing you want to do with octopus, you can serve it many, many, many ways. The thing you want to do is you want to get an octopus tender.
Yeah,
there's a lot of ways you can do that. I first learned how to cook octopus on the island of Paros in the Greek Isles where they used to take it from the boats and they would slap it against the rocks and keep slapping it to make it tender. You don't have to do that, although there are some people that will put it in a mixer with a paddle and they'll do it that way to try to tenderize it. The best way to do it, some people put it in a pressure cooker with some liquid. I like to basically make a very light stock with a little bit of lemon and tomato or a tomato sauce, and you want to simmer it. You want to simmer it very gently for about 2 to 2.5 hours until the octopus gets very, very soft. At that point, you want to take it out, and what I like to do is if you're going to grill it, you're going to take shallots and garlic and herbs and spices. You're going to marinate it for a number of hours. Then you're going to finish it on the grill. You can serve it in pieces or you can slice it. Another nice way to do it is once it's tender, you want to do what's called a frutta di mare, where you mix it with all the other pieces of white fish, mussels, scallops.
Yes.
And you finish it with a light citrus vinaigrette, a touch of tarragon, a little bit of sea salt. You can serve it chilled. You can do a frutta di mare warm if you want to use a red sauce, a checca or a marinara. But the whole trick is getting octopus tender, because if it's not tender, it's not going to eat well. It's going to be a turnoff.
Okay, very interesting. So that's the main thing. The way you serve it is, there's a million ways you can serve it, but the big thing is getting it tender. So you say lemon juice, tomato, garlic. So what was it? Lemon juice.
Tomatoes, and garlic, shallots.
And then hot water. You just soak it for 2-3 hours.
Yes, on a low simmer.
But
you don't want it where it's falling apart. You want it where it's fork tender.
Yes. Okay.
Do you eat the whole octopus, like the legs and the head, or just the head, or just the legs?
Good question.
You're just going to use the legs. Yeah.
Just the legs.
You're just
going to
use the tentacles. Yeah, you take the head off, and you also take the beak out, which is in the center region. You don't want the beak. And I honestly, after watching my octopus teacher and seeing how intelligent and wonderful creatures they are, I don't cook them anymore.
That's like the lobster. It's like the lobster thing about how you boil them and throw them in, and it's like a whole weird thing. But your octopus is dead at this point, right? It's like when you kill. Okay.
Oh no.
So that's all.
Oh no.
No.
There are some people that catch them live and right off the boats, and they go into the liquid, and they're very much alive. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
wow.
So it's like a second, it's like a holding tank of death.
Oh, wow.
Like, to me, I think you should kill it right away so you don't have a holding tank.
You know,
the holding tank sucks.
You put the octopus on a plate with its legs spread out, And you put hors d'oeuvres on every leg from the head down to the tip. That's
No. Because you have to make the legs They have to be tender.
It's known as pulpo. Octopus is known as pulpo. And I loved it for years. I love cooking pulpo. So, very big in the Mediterranean.
Yes, yeah.
Is it good for you?
Do you skin it or do you not skin it?
No, you don't have to. It's high in cholesterol. You know, it's high protein, but very high cholesterol. Octopus.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little careful.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you're going to talk about filet mignon just now, and that's
right.
Careful. But, you know, that's a little different. But, I mean, but then there's the squid thing. Do you have to, the squid ink, like, you know, isn't there like a thing you have to be careful with
yeah,
octopus?
Yeah, there's a sack. There's a sack sometimes, and people will use that to make sauces or to dye pasta. You know, there's octopus, and then there's something called calamari, which is squid, which is, you know, quite different. And most Americans eat that fried.
Those little rings.
The little rings and the tentacle heads, Or a light tempura, and then finish it with a little fresh squeezed Meyer's lemon.
James is such a fisherman. He is. I mean, we played Fish Fever, and he's like Silver Ghost. His song is also about fishing, and James, that's awesome, man. So you're going to have to show us what you cook on social media. I know you're like, screw social media right now, but we want to see. We all want to see. Just send it to me, and I'll post it.
I'll send a picture,
We want a picture of what you do.
Yeah.
We want a picture.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, listen, I know it's late in South Africa. Oh, go ahead, Ivan.
You want to get tentacles. You want to serve tentacles with double rows of suckers. Those are the better ones, not the single ones. You want the tentacles to have double.
Now I thought we're at the White House.
If you want double rows of suckers, just talk politics.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Actually, our White House is
those are good tips. You're going to take them to heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to see the picture. We want the picture of the suckers.
Do you mean there's two suckers in one place? How do you double rows of suckers? What does that mean?
Well, that would be the political parties.
Right
there. That's
right.
What I'm saying. I shouldn't say the White House. I just say, you know, no. But, there you go.
Oopsie.
I want to see the double sucker.
What do you mean? Like two suckers in one place? What do you mean double
suckers? Yeah, as you come down the legs.
Yeah.
Instead of a single suction cup, there's two next to one another, and it comes down the entire leg, the tentacle.
Two sucker legs at one time. I'm not worth it.
Childish. Come on, it's a Champagne Sunday show. We're going to get childish about this. I didn't know there was a sucker cup.
Well, we don't eat fish
because
we're allergic to all forms of fish and shellfish. So it's a unknown topic.
It's a whole new world to listen to you guys talking about sucker cups
and octopus
and tenderizing the tentacles and everything. It's just very interesting. But, James, it sounds like you're going to have a really good dinner tomorrow night. I know it's really late now in South Africa, but it sounds like you're going to have an interesting dinner tomorrow night.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. I think it's going to be good. I've done
my
research.
Show us your tentacles when you're done. Before you eat it. We want to see it beforehand. So we
can we have a photograph of the double rows of suckers?
That's why I said we want the double.
I'll put that in as well. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I want to see.
All right, James, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's late, and we really appreciate it that you're on our show today, our party show. And his superpower really is fishing. And if you see his photos on Facebook and in all of that, you see South Africans with it's angling. You guys are anglers, right?
What
I remember.
Fishermen,
you're out on the beach with long – and I've swum out where you guys do that, and it's hardcore. it's hardcore stuff, and much appreciation for what you do. And
yeah, we do a lot of releasing of fish as well. You know, that's also important.
The next time you come on our show, we're going to talk about the stiff armadillo, and I'm not saying any more.
No,
about
that's
that right
no,
now.
That's Taylor. That's Taylor.
Oh, that's Taylor. What?
Yeah.
What is the stiff armadillo?
We're gonna we'll deal with. Well, James can come back on, and so can Ivan with talk about armadillos. There's an armadillo cake that we can all make and send it to Natchitoches, Louisiana, since Steel Magnolias was filmed there, and they have an armadillo cake. We saw the armadillo cake when we were there the last time, the winning for the anniversary of Steel Magnolias film, the armadillo cake. And Nancy and I wanted to make one, but that didn't happen. But Ivan,
that's the one where, that's the one where Tom Skerritt, in the movie Steel Magnolias, cut the tushy off and looked at, I forget her name, Shirley MacLaine, and said,
he
nothing better than a piece of ass.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
A very famous line in that movie.
Right. And so we were going to make the armadillo cake during COVID time, you know, in lockdown, but we never did because grocery stores took things off the shelf. But, yeah, that is funny. That is funny. But Tracy would be able to make that, right? Your wife, Tracy.
An armadillo cake? Yeah, she can make an armadillo cake.
She's a baker. She gets that.
James, she's
a
baker, among many things.
Yes. Thank
she's
you.
She's awesome. She's just
take
awesome.
Take care, James. Good luck.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for the advice, and thanks very much for having me, and happy anniversary again. And
thank
you. And look forward to chatting in the future.
Yes, absolutely. You come back on anytime. I mean, we love James. He's just an amazing musician and just an amazing guy. So, Chef Ivan, let's go to thank you for joining us. Seriously, I know it's so late in South Africa right now.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Go to bed and drink some sleepy time tea. But put a shot of whiskey in there. Chef Ivan, you know the party bus is at you in San Diego, and Priscilla, the Pink Sock Monkey, does want to make you a drink or something. What would you like for a champagne brunch for you?
What I would drink at a champagne brunch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would you eat and drink?
You know what I would like? I don't drink them a lot, but once in a while, in a tall glass, perfectly made, a good Bloody Mary with fresh horseradish, right amount of lemon, just a touch of horseradish, you know, good fresh tomato juice. They're wonderful. And when you make them right, memorable. I can only drink one, but love it.
What would you eat with it?
I would do like canapes. I would do little hors d'oeuvres. You know, I would do like little roasted artichokes or little toast with mascarpone and prosciutto and a little lemon zest or a roasted stuffed mushroom.
Ooh, I like the stuffed mushrooms.
Or potato chips with caviar.
Oh.
Ooh. Huh. Ooh. So you sent us the recipe for the filet mignon and...
Yes.
It is like if you got mushrooms in that photo, so that's kind of what I was thinking. It's so I'm like, that's good. Nancy does that for breakfast for us. She does a very nice. That's what I was saying with the Bloody Mary. I saw those mushrooms in there, and I'm like, that's Nancy does good. She stuffs it with garlic and cheese, and we just got this new olive oil. Oh my gosh, it's interesting about olive oil, you know, and we're tasting olive oil. So, okay, you taste it, but then you cook with it, and your mushrooms
and
onion changes into a whole, and the garlic changes into the olive, it was Olive Mill Creek. And it's near where you guys, and it's so funny because when I was emailing Tracy about you coming on the show, I screwed up the time, and obviously I even more on the time, but I thought about you guys in Sedona because that's when you were on the show, when you had Forno's Restaurant out in Sedona.
Right.
I mean, that was 15 years ago. And I went to Arizona time for you guys because it was just like, it's the anniversary show. This is when, you know.
Right.
But do you remember, I don't know if that they were there then at the same time. But olives are being grown in Arizona, apparently.
Yeah, they do some nice oils, yeah.
Yeah, and as soon as I cooked it, and listen, I made flatbread pizza, which we've done, you know, you taught me to cook. Don't put the onions and the garlic and the mushrooms raw on the pizza. And you know, we do flatbread, like the non bread or whatever. We'll just take that and I'll put like a little pizza sauce on it. And but I now start cooking. I cooked just barely, right? Just a little bit of sizzle. And I did it with the olive oil. Just a light saute of the mushrooms, garlic and onion. And my God, that was amazing. And doing with olive oil, and that olive oil was really good, by the way. But it's like wine tasting almost with this olive oil thing.
So
I was going to ask you.
When I was in the industry, I tasted olive oils constantly. I'd have the purveyor come in. It was Ariete, and he would come in with 6, 7, 8 bottles, and we always did it with a plastic spoon. And the range on olive oils and extra virgin are amazing. Some of them are a little clear. Some of them are very green. Usually an olive oil that's extra virgin you want to finish with, a regular olive oil you want to cook with. I always used to use a Lungarian olive oil from the north central region of Italy up by Tuscany, which are world renowned for their olive oils.
But then when you taste the olive oil, are you heating it up at all? Because what's in the bottle, straight out of the bottle, and when you heat it, seems to taste different.
It does. Once you heat anything, it tastes different. Again, extra virgin you finish with, regular you cook with. Mm-hmm. Depends what you're making, you know, but it is such a range of olive oils. And then, you know, from all over the country, and all of them taste different.
Well, it's interesting in your recipe now, and everyone, rosemary glazed pan roasted filet mignon, and that's up on blendradioandtv.com right now. Just go on there and type in filet, type in Chef Ivan filet, Chef Ivan's filet. You'll see it'll come up in the search box. It's interesting that you're cooking this. It's pan roasted, but you're using, and you preheat the oven to 400 degrees. I'm so scared to go beyond 325. I'm such a baby. I'm scared of it. But
Remember,
I'm learning.
Remember, anything under 350 is considered baking. Roasting is 350 and above. So you want to put it in a hot oven to finish it. That's really the secret. You want to season, you know, when you think about a filet mignon, in the short loin with beef are your four biggest cuts. You've got your New Yorks, your porterhouse, and your T-bones. Porterhouse and T-bone is in New York with a fillet attached. So when they take a filet mignon out of a steer, all they're left with is bone-in or boneless New Yorks. That's why they're so expensive. And there's only two per steer. It lays within the fat pocket of the short loin. It gets no exercise. So the meat is incredibly tender, but you have to know how to season it. Otherwise, you won't get flavor. People buy it for tenderness, but you have to cook it the right way and put flavor into it to really make it a successful dish.
So when you put something in the oven like this, like because we house it all over the country now, and we've been in a whole bunch of kitchens. And
we need to do a show on that. That's a whole other segment.
And cooking in people's kitchens is a trip. When you go to put, like, the levels of the oven, sometimes the when you open the oven, it's always a good surprise, sometimes it's right under the flame, and you can move it a couple notches down, so it's not right by the flame?
Well, that's a broiler. That's a broiler. That's top heat, known as a broiler or a salamander.
Yeah.
A regular oven, it's either a block oven or it has a convex in it, which is a fan. The other one is a broiler.
Okay.
Oh, because they have a top oven. They have a top oven, And then it goes, you can broil or bake or do, it's like this low thing. And when you cook in it, you can do the bake. So now I know why my pizza doesn't always work the way I want. But I'm scared to put it on
like
broil because I'm like, you're going to flame the pizza. Because I'm thinking top oven, keep it light, light, you know, because it's just a pita bread, basically, non-bread pita bread, and a few mushrooms on it. You don't need to bake in the big oven. Go to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a broil, and I'm like, oh, I'm scared.
Whoopsie.
I don't want to cause What would, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of houses now with these two stove things,
top
and bottom.
They look like two-level ovens,
and,
like the boilers.
Yeah. It's weird. It's not weird. It's cool because, you know, like you're not roasting a chicken in the top, right? It's this low thing. So it's more like
it's
a broiler, like you're saying, but you can still bake on it. It's like, it may be cookies. I don't know. It's kind of, it's so small.
When they do steaks commercially in restaurants, very famous steakhouses, they use broilers and they're about 1,600 degrees.
Wow.
So the steak is put in, and it's very important. You always leave your steaks out for at least a half an hour. You don't want to go in ice cold. And they'll put them under those broilers just for maybe 2 minutes aside, and they'll flip them, and you'll get a nice char. And then the steak, especially when it's if it's still on the bone, will keep cooking. So you have to pull it out a temperature before, because as it's sitting on the plate, it's still going. You're still going to add another 10 degrees to that. So actually cooking meat is quite a challenge.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the filet. It's interesting, too, because you say, okay, you went and bought your filet, right? And so is this a filet that's going to feed two people, or are you doing two filets?
You're going to do two filets. Usually
two filets.
8 ounce is a really nice cut. And you want it completely clean. You want it to look like a hockey puck. There's no fat around the outside. There's a chain which you want to take off, and you want to make it look perfectly cylindrical and a little flat. And when it goes on the plate, it has to look like a picture. So a lot of times I would cut them and hand form them so they were just a perfect round disc. That will give you cooking and give you a center that's going to come out perfect.
Wow.
So I noticed in your recipe you use unsalted butter, but then you add salt.
Right. Right. You don't want salt in the butter, otherwise it'll be too salty. Meat, you want to, especially filet mignon, you want to add a lot of salt, okay? And sometimes pepper, sometimes not. It's up to you. You can finish. What's very important is you're searing it, and you're putting a little bit of oil in the pan. You're searing it on both sides. You're finishing it in the oven. Now, when that comes out, you have some of the oil that's still in the pan. When you put the butter in, remember, regular butter, unless it's clarified, burns at 210. That butter will then mix with that oil, so you have a higher smoke point, and then you can put in rosemary or thyme, fresh, that infuses in the butter, and then you keep spooning it over the filet, and all of that meat juice, the herbs, the butter, the salt, the pepper, then glaze the filet mignon. And you have to let it rest for at least 4, 5, 6 minutes. If you cut into it and it's too hot, all the juice is going to come out and it's going to turn gray. So it's important to let it rest.
Wow.
That's
making me hungry.
That's because you even say to let the meat rest when you take it out of the fridge, even before you cook it. You need to let it get to
half an hour. Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us will just take things out of the fridge and just throw it in the pan.
Throw it in the pan, and then
why
that's
are we
when
doing,
you get.
Why, I mean, what is that a like? It needs what? I mean, doesn't it get to room temperature once you start heating things up? Or no?
No.
No. On the outside, it'll warm up. The inside will stay ice cold.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants a filet mignon blue, where they want it literally mooing and very raw, like raw in the middle, that's when you're going to do it cold.
Huh.
Because they want it blue. Other than that, like if you were doing a turkey and it was like 20, 25 pounds, you would pull it and let it sit for 2 to 3 hours before you even went in the oven.
Wow. So this is, the resting thing, it's interesting on the before and the after, right, about what you're doing. You know, you're resting the meat before you put it in the pan. You're resting it once it comes out, because
yes.
that's something you always
yes.
talk about. You have to let the meat rest before you serve it. And, you know, all of us at home will go, oh, it's out. Let's cut it and serve. And you're always about mm-hmm. let it rest. What
yes.
that has.
Yes.
Has to, is it like wine that it has to breathe?
It has to relax. It has to relax. The
it
muscle has
to calm
to relax.
Down.
You know, it's interesting. I have a good friend of mine. He's a big foodie from Florida, Walt Blenner. So he's quite a foodie. He's listening to your show today. So we both wish
Hi,
you a
Walt.
Very nice happy
hey.
Anniversary.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But, you know, so what he knows about resting the food, he's into that rest it, let it rest.
Yeah,
Florida,
if he doesn't, he does
rest
now.
In Florida, it's warm. It's warm
right,
right
it's
now.
Warm,
I'd like to be
warmer in Florida.
Like, right now, my body would go, I could rest and you could cook me. I got
yeah.
a lot of meat. But this is really cool. But this is interesting, and you use canola
mm-hmm.
oil. So why, like we were starting to talk about olive oil. Why canola
yeah.
versus olive oil?
You can use you can use
olive
the regular
oil
olive oil.
I mean
yeah.
canola oil and butter, which is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
Why the two?
You use the butter to again when the oil comes out, butter burns at 210. So by mixing it, you're infusing the oil into the butter, so that won't burn and get brown.
Oh,
otherwise, you'll get
okay.
what's called the beurre noisette. And you can use olive oil, but you don't want to use a strong olive oil because it can very easily take over the taste of the beef.
Mm.
Now, some people will drizzle a little extra virgin olive oil on top. Or some people will make a filet mignon and put what's called a maitre d' butter, which is a chilled disc of butter with herbs in it.
Right.
And let that melt on the steak as it comes to your table. So it's just melting all through the top.
Mm.
And I know we've touched on this before, but sometimes like they do the blue cheese and then like a bacon
mm-hmm.
thing on top. But when
mm-hmm.
you're doing a filet mignon, doesn't it kind of, it? I mean, blue cheese is great. I mean, I'm not
mm-hmm.
anti that at all. Or you know, bacon, all of that. But these are really strong flavor profiles when you put it on this
right.
piece of meat that's supposed to be
right.
so great. Right?
Right.
So are we tasting the meat anymore if we're putting that on, or do we just put a smidgen? Like, where are we on that?
You don't use too much. You're introducing umami. Blue cheese is umami. It's the fifth profile. So that blue cheese really wakes that meat up, and it works incredibly well together. And then if you have a good wine that goes with that, all three of them just explode in your mouth.
Hmm. Because I think the wine calms down the blue cheese.
But you
mm-hmm.
don't want to put a lot. You just put a little,
no.
teeny bit.
Yeah.
The overdoing
right.
of blue cheese is death.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's not good.
Well, you can do a blue cheese butter. You can put the blue cheese in the butter, chill it,
Ooh.
Cut a little slice, and then just put the maitre d' blue cheese
Ooh.
Butter on top of the filet
Ooh.
When it comes
Ooh.
Out and just let
I like
it melt.
That.
I like that.
I like
that. That sounds good.
I like that idea. That's a balance. That's a nice balance.
Mm.
So, Chef Ivan, what is your champagne toast?
My champagne toast goes out to all people over the last couple of years working in restaurants, catering, food trucks, hospitals, implant feeders, cooking with masks on, cooking on the line, putting the hours in. Really
mm-hmm.
making it memorable for people. It's not an easy profession.
No.
And anybody that cooks, so many people now, they'll order, you know, the home box meals, and that's it for them. People that cook are really, really doing something that is very passionate and very loving. So my hat goes off to all of those folks.
Yeah,
what is
sure.
your superpower?
My superpower, my wife always tells me this, and it's helped me through my career, is my sense of smell.
Ooh,
I taste everything.
I like it.
I taste everything through my nose.
Mm.
So a lot of times I know if something's going to burn 3 days before it actually happens.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
very
that's,
keyed
that's
in
a good
with
one.
My nose. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Put them in a forest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, it is so good to have you back on the show. Thank you for joining us. We owe Taylor Joyner a segment because we were supposed to play You Love, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play music by Doreen Taylor as we close the show down. Of course, we're always delayed. We're not good at these live shows anymore. We just keep getting delayed because we love all of the people that are on the show. We just want to keep talking
there
to everyone. Music Is My Magic is the first, I think, the first time Doreen Taylor came on our show, and we want to give a toast to her. Nancy, mm-hmm. I know I'm toasting to her right now. That's my toast today is old friends, new friends, and Doreen is one of them over the shows. We've never met her in person. We did get to meet Chef Ivan and Tracy in person with Crystal the Sock Monkey. We did get to do that on our tour, which is amazing. And Doreen, hopefully we'll see you too, but we want to toast to you. And we're going to toast with the song Music Is My Magic. She came on this show, one of our Champagne Sunday anniversaries, with her album, new album, Magic. And so it just makes sense that we play Music Is My Magic. So we're going to close the show with that. And we want to thank you, Chef Ivan. Thank you for joining us. It's always
you,
so
Chef.
Much fun. We've missed you. It feels like it's been years, but it's not that bad. I know, man. It's like, but thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone. Here it is. And shout out to Tracy and Pickle. We heard Pickle.
Okay. We heard Thanks, Pickle. Guys. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Here it is. Music Is My Magic from Doreen Taylor. Keep up with her at DoreenTaylorMusic.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, guests. Thank you, listeners. We love you all, and our toast goes to you for being part of our journey. And here we go. And after this, we're going to run out in the sunshine and have a little more wine, right, Nancy? A little more champagne.
I'm halfway there.
There it is. Here it is. Music Is My Magic. Thank you, Doreen.
Change.